Just arrived at your final destination. If it's raw, real, and unedited, I like it. Live from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is everything you've never expected. I'm going to sign my name across the airwaves by daring to be different. Muchos arigatos. Good morning. And welcome to the new and improved podcast of Magda. I have survived a hurricane and I'm definitely changed for life. I just had somebody else knock on my door and ask me if I needed somebody to cut the trees on top of my house and all around my house, in my pool, on my cars, everywhere. And if anybody knocks on my door, I'm going to knock them out because that means they have to walk the entire property to get to the back door. And actually, they're crossing lines. But I am going to say that most people are well-intended still after Hurricane Irma. It's Monday and it's the second Monday after Hurricane Irma. The first Monday was devastating for me and my home. For the Keys, for a lot of people, there's still people missing from Hurricane Irma. If anybody whispers to me 305 till I die and they evacuated, I'm going to punch them in the face because I am 305 till I die because I did not evacuate. And I guess I should have, but I couldn't because my son was with his father. And if you know me personally, you know that I won't leave my son for more than 5 minutes. The umbilical cord is very, very strong. And I decided to stay. And it might have been the worst decision I've ever made because my home was already a little bit delicate and frail because it's a 1920s George Merrick historical home. It's priceless. It's also very damaged now. Hurricane Irma. Wow. I thought I'd seen a lot with Hurricane David and Andrew, but no, this one takes the cake. Why? Because for the first time in my life, I witnessed not one tornado, but various tornadoes. I was, I think, able to witness at least five or six before I bailed and went to run to get my son. My experience with Hurricane Irma goes like this. About 6 o'clock in the morning, I lost power, and about 2:30, I left the property. I left the property after a 100-foot oak tree landed on my property and on my home, the structure, which made it sick immediately. It was already frail. Like I said, it was old, but when that tree hit, everything fell apart. The ceiling, it sounded like rivers and waterfalls. The walls are black. The insurance adjuster came. They have mold. At least some of the walls are 100% covered in mold. This is real life. I never in my life thought I'd be caught in a building that was falling on my head. It was literally falling on my head. The walls were bleeding water, and it was incredible. You know that meme where Leonardo DiCaprio holds up a champagne glass? Well, here's to the people that stayed. Although I think it's really stupid to protect property, because that's not the reason I stayed. I stayed because my son was legally bound to the state of Florida that weekend. If not, I would have taken him out. It's just unbelievable that people would say to save property. You can't save property. Mother Nature's going to win every time. It doesn't matter what you have, how you prepare. Mother Nature wants it. She's going to take it. So I left about 2:30. I left because the ceiling of the second floor caved in, which led to leakage on the first floor, and I wasn't about to witness the rest. I locked up, and for looters, you know, and then I proceeded to try to drive with the car that was out of the trees, which had bald tires, which might have been the stupidest thing ever, too, to drive four streets down to get my son, where he was residing. I forgot that if a 100-foot tree fell on my property, chances are that there's other 100-foot trees that were falling And it began to be a maze to get to my son through the streets of Coral Gables. And I managed to get three streets close to him. I also managed to be able to communicate through the cell phone to him, which I was fortunate. And he ran through live wire, rain, and trees to get to his mom. It was a scene out of a movie. Then when I had my son, incredible. I didn't really think about how I was going to get to the next destination, which was a friend of mine's home. She lives in a sort of bunker-like home, and it also had generators and all the fringe benefits. And, you know, the thought process of a parent and complete loss of judgment, because I had completely lost my judgment at the time because I thought I was going to die, is how do I get to point B? If I can't get out of Coral Gables three streets, how am I going to get to South Miami? At that moment, God is good. And a friend of mine called me and reached out and said, do you need help? At that same moment, it was almost like God was sending me a lifeline. And I grabbed on for dear life. And I said, yes, I need help. For me to say I need help is virtually impossible. I very rarely will say help me. Because I'm very independent, because I take pride in being self-sufficient, because I'm strong in every way. Guess what? I was weak as fuck. And I called and I said yes to him, and he came running and he risked his own life to save me and my son. And there is no question he did that, because for him to get to me and then to take us to my friend's house was a good hour of navigation on streets that were not safe. And it's funny because this individual is able to navigate through. Not everybody is able to navigate through that chaos. And there was nothing less than chaos out there. It was like Armageddon. I have mad crush on Ben Affleck. And it was kind of like a scene from Armageddon. Where Ben Affleck comes in and saves the day. And anyway, friend comes. I park the bald, tired vehicle in the middle of nowhere on a tow-away zone. I don't know where the fuck I parked. And I just left it there. And I locked it up, though. Looters, you know. And I jumped into his vehicle with my child. And all I could do was stare at him. Because I couldn't believe I saw another human being. At that moment, I thought I was going to die. I really did think I was going to die. And he drove us through cables, live wires, trees, and all kinds of danger to my friend's house. We made it. And when we finally got to my friend's house, we were able to do an hour of, you know, what people do. Drink and eat and laugh and all this, reminisce. After that, it was like a 7-day marathon of I don't know what. Sleeping in places, hotels, people giving of themselves like never before, looting, people stealing. So many of my friends were home invaded and robbed throughout this hurricane. So many of my friends had babies. This was really a miracle for my son and I to have lived through. We really should not have. Because we did the stupid things. I was in constant contact with the television stations here in Miami, Florida, and there was a break. And when she told me, my friend from the television station, she told me, now's the time. Now is your moment, your window to get out. I did. I took that window. My son took that window. My friend took that window. It was almost like a chain reaction of godly windows being opened for us to get through this storm. This hurricane has created in me PTSD. I've weathered having a child with acid reflux severe. I've weathered losing my marriage to the nastiest type of adultery. And I came out without the trauma. And I take pride in that. I was all right. I bounced back quickly. But this, I mean, I haven't stopped having nightmares about water and being drowning in water and ceilings caving in and walls falling and trees falling and just all kinds of traumatic evidence from this hurricane. I don't know that I'll ever be the same. I look at a bottle of water differently. I look at gasoline differently. I still have gas left in my garage, which is still standing, that I have to pour in the car. Just looking at things differently, one day at a time. I'm really amazed at how kind people have been, and I hope that the traffic stays that way. The four-way stops in lieu of a traffic light was very indicative of what this city has gone through. It's really reminded me of where I come from, which is Toronto, Canada, where everyone is very nice and they say please and thank you and excuse me and they smile. This has taken place here in Miami after Hurricane Irma. The Keys, I don't even want to think about because the Keys hold so many great memories for me. And I hear that it doesn't exist. So mile marker 7 is the farthest we can go. I'm planning on heading out there sometime soon. I'm trying to make my roof sound before I take off to see how I can help. I've donated. You can donate. You can help. There's so many organizations right now, not only for Miami and the Keys, but also for Texas and Mexico. Something is definitely going on with our planet. I don't know what it is, but it's important to be grateful and to tell the people that you love them, and to say what you need to say and do what you need to do, because it's these moments that remind you that life is just, it's not a rehearsal. It's real. And this is it. And this is all you've got. So make it count. And I'm so grateful to the people that came up and came out to help me. I will never, ever forget those people. And for the people that I didn't get to talk to, I'm sorry. I didn't have a chance and I probably didn't have battery to reach out to you. For those lifelines, those people from Canada, from all over the world, the messages, the DMs, the Instagrammers, everybody that reached out to me, I love you. I read every message. If I didn't get back to you, I didn't have power. I didn't have access. But you moved me. You were tiny little lifelines. And for that superhero that came, has it sunk in yet that you saved my life? All right. Happy hurricane healing. That's what today is. And this podcast, I'm going to call it 305 till I die, because indeed I almost died. I hope you guys weathered this hurricane and every hurricane that comes your way with a smile on your face safely and healthily, and reach out. Let's talk. I got him. I got my favorite sponsor. They're all my favorite sponsor, but this one's open for life. I'm so fresh, fresh to death. Here in the 305, there's a place called Hugo Fresh, where we drink mad juice. They've got the right medicina for you. It's where the vida is. Homegrown, local love, community members, and just downright outrageous. They're paddleboarders. They're yogis. They're very LA, very New York, and now they're my sponsors with various locations throughout South Florida. www.hugofresh.com. They're open for life. Did you like me? Did you hate me? Tell me why. You can find me at www.atrev-t.com. That means to dare. I dare you to contact me. My phone number is 305-903-7160. I'm on Instagram, REVETE. I'm on Facebook, ATREVETE Inc. I'm incorporated. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. Contact me.